Hello, internet.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Okay, yes, we are live.
Very good.
So we will wait a little bit for people to come to check whether we have some technicals. But I think it's okay if I start already introducing ourselves. So hello, everyone. I'm Marta. And together with Tomek, we are organizing online webinars from Interfaces, and we are more than welcome to welcome Nelson. Hello, Nelson.
Hello, everybody. I need you.
Great. So before we start the official part, a little bit about Interfaces. So Interfaces is a group, student group, and we are organizing monthly online webinars regarding architecture. We are not only actually limited towards architecture topics, but we are open for art topics, design topics, and we already invited many popular architects from Poland, like Robert Konieczny, Robert Skitek, Owo Gromczewski, czy Aleksander Krajewski. But we are also open for other designers like Musk and other concept artists. And you can check us on grupainterfaces.pl. And today we have a new guest. This time we are speaking in English. It's Nelson. Nelson is a Salvadorian from Central America, and he came to Germany when he was 18. So in Germany, or mostly in Frankfurt, he's well known for being an innovation expert, since he's having his innovation agency based in Frankfurt called WeSpark. You can see the logo on his t-shirt. And besides what is important, he was working in many fields like product development, engineering, or management and business. A crucial fact about his work experience is that he was chosen to be in a golden team in Lufthansa, where he was working in innovation department, so that's why he can be called innovation expert. As well, a very, very important fact about him is that during Corona times, during the pandemic, obviously the time it was very hard time for businesses. But he gathered 40 people online, and he created another startup called Karma Courier, which was serving many solutions for people during pandemic. And very, very crucial fact was that he was featured in Forbes as well, Economista and CTN. And here we are. Welcome, Nelson. I think I am giving you the mic.
Thank you, Marta. Thank you, Thomas. Nice to see you here, guys. I'm super happy that you planned this today, and I will start sharing my screen. One second, I'm just some clicks away here. Oop. There we go. Here, now it should work, right?
Yes.
So today, what I have prepared for you is a little presentation called The Innovator's Mindset. It's going to be quick, it's going to be visual, but it's going to be, you know, straight to some suggestions and call to actions that I can tell you, yeah, do this, and believe me, things are going to get really good. I just call it the innovator's mindset because I wanted to stay general, and I hope that I have some interesting examples for you.
Our workshops take you from challenge to idea in the flick of a switch. We Spark. Release your inner genius.
Nice. I love checking out this video again and again. And why did I create this video? First of all, it's a metaphor. And there will be some assumptions that we make. The first is, you imagine that somebody is putting a helmet on. And the first assumption that you make is, okay, maybe in the future, it is okay to say or accept that there might be devices, there might be a device that can make us innovative, right? When you do this assumption, when you think that's, I don't know, possible, maybe in the year 3020, then you have to understand that you're also making the assumption without thinking that people are the core of innovation. Because why don't you put this innovation helmet on your innovation strategy plans printed? Why don't you put it on some processes? Why don't you put it on top of your of some pieces of money, right? It doesn't make any sense, because you cannot innovate any of those. You can only make people feel innovative. Therefore, a helmet is really nice for the description. And what it actually helps me to teach to other people is that innovation is a mindset. Right, so forget any definition that you know about innovation. For us, during the coming minutes, innovation is going to be always a topic of mindset. And that means that if we're talking as individuals in mindset, if you take a lot of individuals and put them in a single institution, in a single company, innovation becomes a topic of culture. And again, so it's not about a helmet. Innovation is not about resources, about metrics, about methods. All of these things do matter. But at the very end, innovation is about people, right? So people-centric innovation is the way to go. And today, I want to show you how this displays when you create something for people, but you quite get to be innovative. And yeah, it's a use case about virtual reality architecture. I checked before the definition of architecture, and it says that it kind of embodies or it sums up the action of not only having the first sketches and designs and constructing structures, but it actually covers the whole thing, like from the very beginning till the very end. And just around 1 month ago, I attended to my first virtual conference. Okay, so what is a virtual conference, you will say? Well, that's exactly what you can see in the background. This is my virtual avatar, not the one that I used to enter this, it was quite limited, but when you see it, it looks like a conference room, right? It looks like a conference room as we know it. And why it is important to have human-centric design, human-centric innovation, and always think about people first. People are the ones that are innovated. We create products, services, and everything for people, right? If you would like to attend to this conference in real world, and it's a conference that you really want, where would you like to sit? And let's say that your most important influencer, the one that you check every single video, is going to talk today. Where would you like to sit? Probably in the first row or in the second row, but in the center, in the front. So when you design, if you go through the whole process of architecture and design a virtual reality conference, why do you have to be limited by the real world constraints? Why cannot everybody sit in the front? I mean, you could have easily a donut-shaped stadium with the speaker in the front, but the speaker is reflecting to every single group like they are in the front, right? And imagine how easy it will be to just creating a way so that everybody can sit in the first five rows. And this is important because when you start thinking in innovation as a mindset, then you have in one moment to be to be enthusiastic, to have not only the will but also the valor, the guts to go and say, hey, look guys, I know this might be here crazy, but what if we don't design a conference around what we know and we design it in VR? Because now you can have people that fly, people that teleport, people that moving XYZ and not in just XY, right? You can move people vertically too. You can create things vertically, but you still limit to the same. And this is one of the use cases that I thought, okay, if I show something to architects, something that an architect designing everything with humans in the middle could have done better, then this is a use case that I want to show you because it's real, it's in virtual reality, and architecture is also relevant here. It transports 100% to the digital world. But yeah, so we're gonna continue and we're going to see what is important for someone to be innovative. And we were talking that the innovation is a mindset. And of course, if you don't have the right mindset, you will never get anywhere. If you are not prepared to have critical thinking and just say, okay, this is how things were before, but I want to try something else, I want to try something new, then you won't innovate in any time, right? So you gotta get the mindset. And the only thing that I can do for you is try to inspire with some examples. The mindset, you are depends on how to persuade yourself and say, yeah, okay, yeah, today I'm gonna try something different. Today I'm gonna take another way to work. Today I'm gonna learn, or this week I'm gonna learn a new software or a new skill. But there are two other topics that play a role. One is knowledge. Acquiring knowledge in a particular field makes it more easy for you to innovate. And the other one is skills. You will need a quite rare set of skills that if you combine them, it will help you succeed in your innovations. And when you have mindset, knowledge, and skills, it's really easy to have ideas that make sense, ideas that are impactful, ideas that other people are moved by. And so you will easily get resources, easily extend your network, gain people to you that want to help you convert this idea into reality, and eventually you will create impact. And today, this presentation, I want to make it super, you know, like straightforward for you. My first suggestion to do this, I want you to validate early and validate often. Why? If you check all the startups in the world, the number one reason why startups fail nowadays is because they create a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. In other words, there's no market. There's nobody out there, or not in as big or as many as the people from the startup stuff that have the problem that you try to solve. So therefore, if there's no problem, you don't actually have a solution because nobody has the problem to solve, right? And this you can diminish or you can avoid this risk by validating early and validating often. This will also help you not to be developing something for months or years, and the first time you show it to someone, they will tell you like, I will have changed this or that. And maybe this one or two structural changes. Imagine you have your city built, you have your complete structure built, and somebody has a super structural change that you want, that you need to modify in the first floor of your building. Maybe this change will make you reevaluate how the entire building looks like, because it might be a structural change. So validating early, you know, like this is the base and this is how I envision. I haven't done the entire design from here to the top, but this is how I envision that it's gonna look. You have here the first two floors. Then you validate. You validate early and often. And how it looks like, usually if we do traditional development, you will go from idea, then you start building on your idea, like you build a platform, you do the sketches, or you know, then you eventually launch, if it's like a platform, or you will show your plans to somebody or go to an investor and kind of, you know, like show like, yeah, you're going public with it. And then you will learn from the feedback and then come to the idea. And imagine it like as a software, you have the idea, okay, so I'm going to have a software so that people can take care of the dogs from other people. Then you start building the app, then you launch it. And for the first time, you start to get the feedback, you know, in reviews and comments. And maybe this is opposite from what you thought. So I believe that if you validate early and often, you can kind of like quite skip the build and launch part and just do idea, learn, until you have something that you know that other people need and other people want, and then you can come forward. So as an idea, I have something that I want to show you. I developed a little app for today. And I'm just opening now. Whoop. Okay, it's loading. Quick second. Got it. All right. Okay, here. It's open. It's called the Happy App. Thomas, I'm going to stop sharing and continue sharing again so that everybody can see. So this is my app. It's called the Happy App. Important is you can keep your contact with the loved ones. I will press on next. It says you can take care of yourself, or press on next. You can free your mind from stress, continue. And this is the first setup from my app. It's the initial setup. So it asked me to choose some categories that I care about. Okay, I care about staying in touch with people I appreciate or love, stay in shape, be more creative. Okay, nice. Those are the ones that I mark, continue. How much time do I have today? Today I have, let's say, 80 minutes to invest in these things. So now I have here three different tasks that I can accomplish. The first one says, call someone you care about. I'm going to open it. And it's going to tell me something like a plan on what I can do, you know, think about someone that I would like to talk and haven't talked in some weeks. And then, you know, like ask this person over a text to call, blah, blah, blah. They say that I already did this done. I have market weight. I'm just going to continue with the other ones, go for a walk or run outdoors or indoors. Uh-huh. And just get something you like from nature. So I have done them already. And when I do them, it's like, okay, congratulations. See you tomorrow. I just finished. This is my happy app. And the thing is, if you can notice, it's actually loading online. I haven't developed this app. And I'm going to go back to the presentation now. You should be able to see. Give me the thumbs up, Thomas, if you see again. Perfect. I haven't developed this app. This app is just a series of pictures that I use a little app called InVision to show on display. It's a prototype. To have an idea, it took me less than 90 minutes to create this little app. Just to show you guys today that you can have something that looks real and you can already get feedback. Somebody will tell me, oh, okay, Nelson, well, I liked it. There's a big but. My time setup is not always like 20 minutes, 45 minutes, or 80 minutes a day. For me, sometimes I only have 15 minutes. Other days, I would like to spend an hour. I mean, an hour here is so good. I don't have an hour here to choose. I have it in 45 minutes or 80. So maybe I would like to have a slide, or I would like to have a selection that I can select the time that I want, maybe input it. And then you can get really good feedback before you start, you know, developing something already. As of today, I have tried some virtual reality softwares that I'm not allowed to show you for now, but they will soon go completely public with this, where you could completely design a building first and just export this 3D thing. Like, you will take your controllers and you're just like building it, rotating, making big, and it feels so right. Then you just export this project, put it into CAD. You make it everything clean. You put the entire structure inside. You bring it to a CAT, work with a civil engineer. Congratulations, you see if your thing will stand. I mean, it's more complicated than that, but at least it gives you an idea at the very beginning, right? And here comes to my next suggestion. Visualize everything that you work on. Why? I'm going to explain visualization. I'm going to take off the volume of this one. So first, we have this called visual facilitation. I did it inside of virtual reality because that's a topic that I pretty much care about and I love. And there are skills that you can learn out there, like visual facilitation. It looks like on the left. It's a systematic approach in which you will learn how to use simple drawings like triangles and squares that everybody can know. And if you put them together, like you can see in the right, you can super quickly create images that other people understand. And why this works, and now you can be checking the video on the right and a little post-it, is because ideation is way easier when you visualize. The results or the end results are better. You have shorter meetings. And the most important part is because you have less misunderstandings. How I explain that to others is I tell them super quickly, if you visualize, it's super easy for others to understand what you see. As an example, and think all of you with me. Okay, we'll stop the video. Okay, think all of you with me. If I tell you that I'm producing a product, my product is for moving forward. That's the final goal. Number three, final goal is moving forward. And I know it has some features. It has two wheels. It has two wheels and one handlebar, one like handle. How does the product look like? Okay, is it a scooter? Is it a motorcycle? Or an e-bike, or just a normal bicycle? What is it, right? And if I will have visualized and just show you, okay, I have an idea, a product, it should look something like this, right? Maybe I will just stop to share really quickly and I will reshare again. Sorry, Thomas, I'm making you switch the scenes. But this is the product now, right? It has two wheels, it has a handlebar and moves you forward. Is this what you were thinking about? Like, I don't know, some sort of segue. Right? You possibly were thinking about something else. Maybe you were thinking about another product that brings you forward that I wasn't thinking about. So you see, with words, it's extremely easy, and I'm going to go back to the presentation. With words, it's extremely easy to go separate ways and to have super big communication gaps. So when you visualize in your work all the time since the very beginning, then it's super easy, you know, not only to convince others, but to think about the same thing. And there's this theory, you call it like a spatial brain. When you're visualizing and everybody seeing the same thing, then you can quickly argument that everybody's sharing like a common brain, right? Like everybody's seeing the same and the chances of interpretation are smaller. And this, you also have to think that you can visualize not only by drawing, but also by building and sketching some things. Just go to your local store and buy a lot of different things for $50. And you can already do some really quickly early prototyping to have some ideas and present your ideas better if drawing is not your thing. And yeah, and if you combine both drawing and building little prototypes, this is how it looks. So this is, you saw the innovation helmet before. It started as a sketch, as you can see on the left. And then I built a little version that it became a prototype, right? I have it with me. I built it with duct tape and just painting on it and basically duct taping everything together, even the light bulb on the top. And on the right, you can see that, okay, if you're actually now investing into putting and creating a real, like the real version of it, that is not the more prototypey, then when you already have heard feedback from the people, you know what's possible, what's not, you know that you can have a light bulb, you can have LEDs, and you can have a rotating ringlet, that is the word for it, or like kind of wind flower. Then you can go, and after you get this feedback, and put some efforts into creating that new version of what you want. For example, here, the CAD render version. I hope one day I will have a full picture with the actual helmet, the real version, like just made for the purpose of explaining this metaphor. But you see super quickly, it's a nice example that you can also visualize and use it as part of the prototyping example that I was giving you before. So another suggestion of mine, and I'm checking the time, 24, perfect, is to learn innovation relevant skills. This is the sort of slides that people like to do pictures because it pretty much shows you the A skills that I have selected over the past 4 years that I'm totally convinced if you have them, if you have these 8 different skills and you can do them remotely, especially in the last years, in the last months, if you can do it remotely, then you will have no trouble innovating, given that you have some previous knowledge about what you do and that you have the right mindset. But learning all of these 8 is possibly like one of the biggest filters. Very probably you already have the right mindset if you're like into learning so many skills already. But it will be about around coaching skills. It means, you know, knowing how to be empathetic, talk with your team, move them forward, also quite like facilitating sessions, process engineering, understanding the logic of things, structural first, then the facade, right? Understanding a little bit around technology, UX design, and digitalization. What sort of platforms do we have out there that could help my work be more easily done, or so that I can visualize the results way better and way more exact before I put a lot of effort into creating it. Innovation methods on the bottom right. The innovation methods are systematic ways in which you will bring someone from a challenge to a valuable idea and even more sometimes to prototype and testing. And why they work is because since they are systematic and they democratize the process, then you will have not a lot of discussions and you will move forward without the need of a lot of creativity, because the way it just makes things logical at some point and you don't rely on creativity so much and having to think from zero on, okay, let's create this building, and you have to create it right away. And maybe you're just thinking about the most square building ever. Now video making skills, because and believe me, videos is possibly what moves a lot in my current field, and I believe that it moves a lot. When people see moving images, when they see videos, you have the chance to do storytelling, you have the chance to convince people, and to have one video that will always explain things really quickly. If it's like 1 minute or 90 seconds, it will explain your project or idea really quickly. It will be concise, always using the exact same words in the exact same timing. And third, you can share it again and again and again and again, and you don't get tired. You can share your video with 100,000 people with the same effort as sharing it for one once you have made it. Then business modeling, because everything in this world is attached to money.
And even if you have an NGO, you need to check that it can run as a business, or that it can sustain itself. So you have to be wise in the process that you decide for how you will construct your projects. And this you have to evaluate at the very beginning. Maybe it's in the core of your project that is self-sustainable. Maybe it's, I don't know, the whole architecture is surrounding and based on the fact that it's going to produce, I don't know, cleaner air energy or another added value that you could in some way compensate or sell and think, okay, that's how my business model is going to work. Then you have presentation and persuasion skills, which is all about convincing others and win them over for your cause. And a last piece of facilitation, which we just saw. So I told you, everything is important, but if you forget the mindset, you will go nowhere. Mindset is on top of all of that. And so that you have a little spark, a little idea about what knowledge is, because I mentioned knowledge before, this is what knowledge looks like. These are the mega trends that are going on outside. Demographic change, you know, like the percentage of people being older on the third age always growing, or the silver age, they call it. Then sustainability, the alternate, the industry 4.0, the connected world, the virtual experiences, artificial intelligence, transhumanism, or how we are starting to change our DNA to do other stuff. I know that's one that scares me quite and also intrigues me. Urbanization, which is extremely important for you when you start getting like higher densities of people living in the same spaces, and you can design them in a way that they don't feel so crowded. The attention economy, the era of the data, personalization, and future of work. So these are some of the mega trends, and you don't have to know all of them. The same with the skills. If you know three or four really good, believe me, you will have no trouble ever succeeding in your projects, winning other people over, finding a new job if you need so, or even better, starting your own project. And we're gonna move forward to this little slide. This is another slide that people like to take a little like screenshot or picture from. So these are my sources. When people ask me, Nelson, how come you are so innovative? And I'm like, well, I'm exactly like you. The only difference is I watch these things every day. So the first is a YouTube channel called In a Nutshell. And they basically do summary videos about big mega trends, about big trends going on in the world. And they argument with facts. I really like them. The second one is called brilliant.org. Brilliant.org. Just look for brilliant on Google. I hope you're not buying diamonds or something. But brilliant.org is going to show you how to learn physics, math, programming, most, you know, like different types of sciences you will find there. And it's super interesting because they take really complex problems and then just teach them to you in really bite-sized pieces. It's so small, so easy, every exercise, and then you're learning a topic. As an example, if you want to learn artificial intelligence, then it's going to show you how a machine learns and sees things first. And then you will be solving problems as a computer has to solve them, so that you get this basic concept idea, this abstract idea of how computers work together. Then LTT or Linus Tech Tips or Tech Quickie, maybe the second one is more important. They are both YouTube channels that will show you about new updates in technology, especially end consumer technologies. And if I watch them every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I haven't skipped a single video in over 3 years. Then you have Skillshare, which is a page where you just like go and check whichever skill you want to look. If you want to learn how to draw better, faster, go to Skillshare. You have Reddit, there is a forum. Every time that you, once you have some knowledge about a topic, you will usually run into some troubles. Let's imagine that you're trying to do some simulations, some structural simulations about how you're building or structuring and its area and gets affected by wind and temperature and time. And then you want to simulate this, but you're having a really specific trouble with your platform or with your software. It always gives you a mistake. So you go there, you look for a Reddit, for a forum, just about this specific platform and ask, And usually people here are experts in what they do. If you want to learn about cupcakes, you will find a forum just people talking about cupcakes. If you want to learn about a specific virtual reality headset, believe me, there's going to be a forum about people just discussing things, people just discussing a single version of a programming language. It's really good, but you need to come with some knowledge first, because, you know, once you join, people assume that you also quite know something. Then you have TED Talks, which are really interesting talks and quite summarize a lot of really important talks. And Blinkist, which is a platform where you can hear summaries from books, non-science books. So if it's a book about life and development, something like this, personal development, sorry, then you can hear the entire book in 10 or 15 minutes. They sum up back to the essence if you don't have time. And the last part is if you have the right hobbies and the right network, if your friends are interested in video games or video production or computers, then you might quite, you know, like learn a little bit about it if you're around them, because they might be talking about this stuff. They might show you this stuff. In Spanish, we say, el que entre miel anda, algo se le pega, which means like, if you're walking through honey, something is going to stick to you, right? And yeah, and choosing some hobbies might help you, you know, like stay engaged and learn a particular topic in general. So you see all the eight skills that we talked before. I'm not going to explain each one due to the time, but okay, we have them all eight, yes. All of them, these are the right platforms where I would suggest you to go. So if you can screenshot that, or if you want to, I'm going to give you 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, and we're moving on. So one important thing about learning the right skills is there's this thing called the Dunning-Kruger effect. Learning takes time. That's what it says. So usually people gain trust when they have almost, like here you have the trust, how confident you are, and below you have the skills and experience. And what it says is when you learn something, let's say like you watch a YouTube video about blockchain or about cryptocurrencies, a 10-minute YouTube video, it's very common to, after that, you will listen and meet people that they talk like they know this topic, like they were born and they developed cryptocurrencies. And they maybe only watch a video or something. Maybe they have been exposed to the topic for less than an hour in their entire lives. But this is what I call the parrot. They don't know anything about the topic and they gain so much confidence that they are quickly open to talk about it like they are experts. If you keep talking more, if you keep learning more and more, maybe you will come to this phase where you're like, oh, okay, now I notice that I actually know around 5% of this topic and the other 95%. I don't know about. So I actually know way less than what I thought that I do, because now I have put some time into it. And number three is like, if you keep learning and learning, one day you might be a guru. And what I do is I have this rule called the 540. Thing is, I try to learn something new at least 5 minutes a day, and I already know what I want to do. They say that I want to learn piano, right? If I learn 5 minutes a day piano, it's more easy that I will stick to the plan. If I say I'm going to learn piano 1 hour every day, it hears like it's possible. But believe me, after the first or second week, it might be a really big stress because it's one entire hour. But if you only do 5 minutes and no more, and that's the minimal, 5 minutes is better than zero. Because what happens is if you do 1 hour, it's okay, 1 hour the first day, 1 hour the second day, 1 hour the third day. Thursday, I had a little party with some friends. So yeah. Friday was quite hangover, so no piano. Saturday, I played piano, it was 1 hour. Okay, I did it. Sunday is Sunday, so I don't play piano. Monday, I forgot. Tuesday, I forgot. Wednesday, I did. And then I forgot 1 week. I forgot 2 weeks. So it's better if you try doing five. And that until you reach at least 40 hours. I believe that if you reach 40 hours, you will at least have reached the little monkey and you are okay to start talking about a topic that you have invested 40 hours in learning about, because you will not, you know, nobody's going to shame you for saying something completely out of, you know, of the scope. And yeah, and why 5 minutes? Because sometimes if you say like, I'm going to learn 5 minutes, and maybe it takes you a good 2 minutes to sit in front of the piano and everything, maybe you will do 10 because, okay, I took 2 minutes for 5 minutes of something. It's quite a high investment, right? So maybe you will play 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And believe me, that's better than trying to do it 1 hour all the time. Unless you can really do it, then go for it. But this works. And we're almost approaching to the end. My suggestion is to go and find and follow your cause. So what does it mean with a cause? When I created my company, WeSpark, I created a corpus as a sort of ecosystem. I said, okay, we focus on three things. We do impactful and ethical projects only for our customers, because if we work on projects that don't have any chance of having big impact, then what is going to be the reputation for the company later? I want to work on the cool stuff. That's how I thought about it. On the left, you have the, we want to contribute to innovation research and create new innovation methods to share and continue developing it. And the third is we want to educate people in innovation. So the cost, how it looks is, okay, customers, they have a problem. They pay us to solve these problems in innovative ways. So what we do is we're creating innovation methods all the time and we start teaching them. Right now we're teaching it to one NGO, and just today we were starting discussions, and next week we're gonna decide to start teaching innovation methods to a second NGO back in Middle America. And usually when we're teaching them, we get some nice feedback about what works, what doesn't work under different criteria than the one that we have. So we have tested these methods and we go back to start solving them. And you can see how we are, you know, like always developing new methods and always continuing forward while we do something for the world and we do something for our customers. So that's the cause, right? And then once you have this cause, just dare to learn and dare to try. How I do that, I created part of my hobby to write articles. So when you see me writing an article, it's not because I really know a lot about it, it's because I have put around 40 hours in this topic and I'm exposing now my opinions and my understanding, interpretation of this topic in an article so that I can get feedback and so that I can learn even more. So that's my way of doing. You have to find your way, but usually it's about sharing it with other people. And so that you have an idea, that sort of projects that move me now and that I'm, you know, like daring to learn and daring to try is one around creating virtual reality products from our company, creating a remote collaboration platform. Here you can see a first on scene, and at least I haven't shown this to anybody outside. This is the first time we're like showing it in public, the three of the things. And the third is like writing the first book called The Innovator's Handbook. At least for now, that's the name that it might hold, and it's going to be a practical and timeless guide to spark fresh ideas and release your inner genius. So these are the sort of projects that I'm working about, and I hope that they quite, you know, get you intrigued and think, you know, like, wow, this is super cool stuff, because it really moves me, and I hope that it moves and inspires you to start your own little projects, even if they are crazy or if some others will say, ah, that's impossible. Just dare to learn and dare to try. And well, my name is Nelson Javier Mejia, and I hope that you enjoy this little innovator's mindset presentation. So you are more than welcome to follow this QR code. That's my LinkedIn, or just look for LinkedIn Innovation or Google my name, Nelson Javier Mejia. Whatever is easy for you, you can just add me on LinkedIn and let me know. Do a personal invite, please, and write me, Nelson, I checked your session. I really liked it, so that I know, you know, so that I'm gonna accept you and know who you are. Cool. I give it back to you guys.
Great. Hello, back. Thank you so much, Nelson, for this lecture. It was very, very inspiring and always, yeah, you're so great in talking about innovation. Thanks for that. And since we said at the beginning that now we will have a Q&A session, so guys, if you have any questions from our audience, feel free to write in the comments and we will pass it to Nelson. So the first question that we will have for you is, what would you suggest to people to start an innovative career? Like, there are a lot of people from architecture, so probably a lot of them would like to be an innovative architect. So what would your suggestion be?
Okay. Yeah, so there are three suggestions that I will give to anybody that is starting a career and that they want to be innovative. The first thing that I can tell you is super cool. You already have what it takes. If you are, you know, asking yourself these kind of questions, you probably already have the right mindset. But there's three concrete suggestions that I will give to someone trying to, you know, like being innovative. The first is to join forces, do work with others. Innovating alone is super difficult. You have to expose yourself to different perspectives, different critics, to people that, you know, if you're an architect, try to work with somebody that studied, I don't know, social sciences, or somebody that is into arts, for example, but just like 100% arts, maybe something theatrical. To try to get somebody from another complete perspective. That's the first thing. Second one is start creating your network, because believe me, for you, it's super important to have a network of people that will aid you. Also, with the first thing that I said, start building your network. If you're not doing it already, start doing it now. Do it actively. Do it at least a little bit, at least 5 minutes of adding someone or finding a new person on your network every day. It pays off. There's one saying, it's never too late to build a network unless you already need it, right? Because to build a network, it takes time. So start now if you haven't. And the last one is that at the end is the mindset. And if you didn't, if for some reason you skipped that part of the presentation, mindset is the 1, 2, and 3 of having an innovative career or innovation career. In principle, is the 1, 2, or 3 of being empowered and able and willing to change the things that you believe that are needed to change or to innovate them. So those will be my 3 concrete suggestions. Again, super easy. Just join forces, create a network, and there, remember that it's all about the mindset.
Great, thank you. So now I guess it's Thomas' turn.
Yeah, now I'm going to ask second question. Second question is, what kind of condition you should follow in the industry when starting a business?
Okay, all right, this one is quite difficult and interesting. I believe that there's one thing that I will say before everything else, and we already had it in the presentation, is validate first. Validate with everyone. If you're developing, if you want to develop an app or something like this, discuss it with your grandmother, the people that you will think, okay, maybe they cannot give me really good feedback. If your grandma gets it, she doesn't have to get the app. She has to get the reason why it exists. And yeah, you will get really a lot of valuable feedback. Especially there will be some feedback, and you will know sometimes you get feedback that is not quite straight to the point. Other times you get feedback, you think that it's not so important, but after reconsidering, you will understand why it is. So always try to do that, but especially always do like a little source analysis, kind of think, okay, why the sort of feedback that I'm getting from this person might be more or less interesting for me, and then work on that. Just don't keep it in your head. Do convert it into actions.
Thanks for that. So another question is, name 3 top suggestions for the innovative project, company, startup, or product.
Sorry, can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, sure. So I ask whether you can name or say 3 top suggestions for like the innovative product, project, startup, company, like to start something like this.
Okay, something that is a little bit different from, quite similar to the other question. But yeah, I will say first is to look into something that you are not happy with. I believe that's the way how I started mine. I look into the innovation market and all these more innovation consultants, and I say innovation consultants because they were quite more like strategy consultants that were sent for some days to Berlin to get a certification, come back to the city, to Frankfurt, and they said, I'm an innovator. You know, and you see that in their profiles that they do digital transformation, but they don't program or anything. That they talk about entrepreneurship, but they never started their own company. You know, that they talk about being visionaries, but they share no visions. So the first thing is find something that gets your blood into boiling, something that thinks you like, this gets me angry, I'm highly dissatisfied. And then check into ways of solving it at the very beginning, and this is the second point. Just try to think super broad. Even if some things might seem impossible at the beginning, try to not kill them too quickly, because they might be possible. You just don't know at this moment how. And the third one is that when you're working on them and whatever, never forget the why, the reason why you're doing this. If you have a cause, if there's something, if there's a real problem that you're solving in this world that goes way beyond just making money, it's going to be way easier for you to convince others to your cause. And it's going to be way easier to wake up every morning and say, wow, today I'm going to make the difference again, like yesterday, like today, and like tomorrow. If you ask me, those three things are like a really nice formula for success, given that you have the right mindset, again.
Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Thomas?
Thanks a lot. And the next question, fourth one, is how the industry changed due to coronavirus?
Okay. So I will say, if you have to put my sort of field in a box, in a this type of industry box, it will be quite like the consultancy. It's the only thing that is similar. There's nothing like innovation, facilitation, industry as in categories. You will not find something like this on LinkedIn. There's some people that talk about it, but industries are big, right? And everybody knows it's like automobile or aeronautics, you know, it's straightforward. But this, it will go into all the consultancy services quite stuff. Before, I would be in a room physically, it will be filled, it will be a lot of people in workshops, super strategic workshops, where we will be working for a week or two. We will be 7 to 8 in some seminars and events that I was planning. We will be more than 100. And now these rooms are empty. There's nobody. We're doing everything online. So we had to go 100% digital. That's why you see, this is a switch that we already did, but we are still missing this real interaction with people. And there's a way to quite still manage to have 100% distance between you, and with 100% is 100% COVID safe, but still get not 100%, but around like 70 to 80% of feeling that you're with other people there. That's virtual reality. And that's why you see that we are like planning this virtual WE project as we know it for now. And soon we will have something to show to all of you. It's gonna be mega, mega cool. I'm still not allowed to tell.
Can't wait to see it.
Great. So another question is that you mentioned it a little bit, is that many people say that they're, I don't know, innovative, but actually, or they have an innovative product, but actually there is nothing innovative behind this product. And I've bumped into this opinion of that, nothing is original. It's also a saying from manifest from one artist. So would you agree with the sentence or not really? What is your opinion?
Not really. I believe if somebody really thinks that nothing is original, that this is a sort of mindset that's not gonna take you anywhere. The sort of mindset that is gonna take you anywhere is first understanding and being aware that original, it's quite complicated to get there, and that it's not happening every day. But also having this mindset and this will of waking up and trying to find that original in the sort of area that, or industry that you are. And one day you will just, this opportunity will come in front of you, things will make sense, and you have to act on it. And then you can do original things. For me, I have done quite a few lists of things that I know I'm the first person under these conditions to do this in the world. Right. I even went as far as with some colleagues in virtual reality. I wanted to be at least I have a world record in something, and I will play and play again a little game in VR with three other friends. We were a squad, and we played and played and played. We were getting super fit, you know, always like moving, until one day we just quite figure, oh, okay, this works a little bit better, and we kept trying on it, and yeah, we became the first in the world. We were number one, you know, like we hold the record for a good 3 months. And this is a really nice feeling. And this feeling I want to apply to business. I want to be the first one failing in something, or even better, I want to be the first one succeeding in something, but I'm open to both, because, you know, as long as you're not risking anything mega important, if you're risking something that you can re-obtain, then move on, move forward, try it. If it works, perfect. If it doesn't work, okay, yeah, but just gotta try it again. Now you know how not to fail next time. And yeah, your originality comes with quantity, comes quality, and with synthesis or recombination of things. Just, you can combine 2-3 things that exist in a new way, and then you have something original. I take this idea of a helmet. You have seen it possibly movies. Let's say Back to the Future, the Doc Brown. In the first movie, Marty McFly comes into his house and he's wearing this metal headset that should help him think about what other people are thinking and give him telepathy. But it doesn't quite work, right? But it's still the same idea, a headset that helps people, you know, think beyond what they can. And yeah, I just take this idea, but I convert it into a business metaphor and I give it my own spin. And I don't know if you would call it original, but at least if it would be a little marketing stunt, it's a really nice one, because it cost me around $80 or €80 to do this little helmet. And I know that this has reached over 1 million views. I can even track 170,000 of them, and then the ones that I cannot track are all the ones that have been reached by newspapers, by articles from Forbes, by television, by videos that I didn't publish. So, you know, originality, it comes and it's there. You will just know if you're looking for it.
Thank you so much for that. And I think we have the last question for today. Thomas?
Last one? Last one? Okay. Which one of these ones is the last one?
About us, about interfaces.
Okay. What suggestion would you give us, our company, interfaces, in regards of innovation? What could we do?
Sure. I would say explore new technologies. There are a lot of really nice technologies out there that will make your work easier, maybe more innovative, as you could say. It will change the methods of how you think and how you work. And it's gonna give you a bunch of new ideas that you can interact with. So, I don't know, for example, check how virtual reality can solve your things. And you don't have to have money to be working with these things. You just have to, you know, like be associated to any institution, you know, go to the next institution that you know, to the university where you studied, and ask them, hey, I need help. I just want to try something. It's going to be for you. I will give them a little research paper or 20 or 40 page paper about why this could work for architecture, but I want to try it, and I don't have the money to do so now. So it would be like kind of quite some deal. Even you get to keep the headset at the end, for example. That's an idea, right? Or maybe there's a product or a platform or a software that you want to download and try, and there's no demo. Then just write the people or try to get the next institution that you know, or even your employer, and ask them, hey, I want to do this stuff. I kind of promise you that this is going to be the answer to all our questions, but it might definitely answer a few of them. I just don't know yet, and I want to try it out. Give me, you know, like a week to test it out. And yeah, this might, at the end, we might win a lot. And in the worst case, we learn that it's not quite there yet in what we do. You know, but just go try there to try other technologies and find a way. Ask people around. Somebody is going to help you. And if they say no, just go to the next person and ask again.
Okay, thank you. So, Thomas, next online webinar should be in virtual reality.
Yes, just
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the idea.
So we are coming to the end of this online webinar. It was really great pleasure to have you here, Nelson. Thank you so much for this lecture. And I hope that we pass this innovation mindset to our audience. And yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate that you wanted to join us today. And thank you, Tomek, for organizing the technical stuff by live streaming everywhere. Yeah, so I think that's it. Thomas, do you have anything to add?
See you guys.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks great. A lot. Thanks a lot, Nelson.
Yeah. Thank you so much.